First reading is in Exodus. The people are in the desert. Human nature has not changed much, has it? Stuff starts going wrong, and what is their response? You just bring us out here so that we can die of thirst in the desert? And brothers and sisters, these are the people who saw the ocean part before them, saw the waters of the Red Sea consumed with their enemies. How quick we are to forget. But they are thirsty, right? They are thirsty. Thirst is fundamental, isn't it? It's fundamental, it's necessary to be able to eat, to be able to drink. Such a very concrete, tangible reality of need. And God meets them in this need. But he does it in a very particular way. He does it in a way in which he sets up for us something that will be fulfilled later on. What does he tell Moses to do? He says, go over to the rock. Now, they have found a rock that is on a hilltop, a massive rock. It is 10 feet tall. Huge rock. And they see it split right down the middle. And they can see erosion on the hilltop as if a massive flood of water was pouring out and pouring out and pouring out and eroding the rock that's around it. They found this in the desert there. Imagine, hilltop, huge rock. What does God say? He says, I am going to go and I will stand upon the rock. What is he doing? He is becoming one with the rock. He is in solidarity with the rock. He goes over, places himself upon it. And then what happens? Moses strikes the rock, and a flood of water pours forth. Scholars will tell us that in the desert, there are places where shepherds know of springs, and they cover the springs with rocks that they roll away in order to feed their sheep. And they're very particular about this knowledge because they don't want other people using their springs. The rock is split and living water flows forth. When I say living, moving water flows forth in order to meet them in this most fundamental need to satiate their thirst. We see that this will be fulfilled in Jesus when the soldier's lance pierces his side and blood and water pour forth. Not from a rock of stone, but from a living heart. Medical, what do they call those people that, pathologists, tell us that this is understood because Jesus on the cross would have, his lungs would have been filling up with water. He would have been suffocating in crucifixion. And so the spear, the lance, when it pierces his side, it first passes through his lung and then into his heart. And so the pulling out of the spear, you would have had blood and water flowing out together. What was prefigured in the rock being struck and opened and living water flowing out is fulfilled in Jesus upon the cross. We see in the gospel text Jesus at the cistern. It's a cistern, that's what it says. The cistern is not one that possesses water in itself, but collects water, and then water can be drawn forth from it. Cistern outside of the town, away from the city. People coming and drawing water from it. Someone comes in the middle of the day There's all sorts of things about this. It's not normal for people to draw water in the middle of the day. They come early in the morning before it gets hot. The only reason you would come at the middle of the day is because you're trying to avoid the other people that are drawing water. There's some speculation here, the whole thing of the five husbands and the thing like that, that it's kind of known to the community, and so she comes at a later time in order to avoid all of those other people. I can imagine, as she's approaching the cistern and sees a man sitting there, she's like, I thought no one would be here. What is he doing there? And as the conversation goes back and forth, it's kind of humorous, right? She looks at him, she's like, Mr. Jew, why are you talking to me? I'm a Samaritan. You want me to give you a drink? You have to use my bucket. You have to use my ladle. It's the Samaritan bucket, the Samaritan ladle. I don't think you want to touch it because you're a Jew. Since we're dirty to you, since we are not a people. Jesus says, I thirst. Give me something to drink. Jesus speaks to her about giving to her something to drink. And at first we hear in her response that she first understands his remarks as to be something simply physical, which would be quite spectacular, don't you think? He says, if I give to you this drink, it will become within you a fountain of living water that will well up. And she's like, well, that would be convenient. I'd never be thirsty again. She's speaking about a physical thirst. I'd never have to come back here and draw water. It would be a spring of water within me. Super convenient until you're on a 12-hour flight from Tokyo to Detroit or something like that. You have to get up all the time and use a restroom, right? It's a joke. All right. Jesus moves her from the physical into the spiritual. I'm not talking about a physical spring. You drink this water, you know, you're going to be thirsty again. What I'm talking about is meeting your spiritual thirst. And how does he move her from the physical to the metaphysical, from the physical to the spiritual? Go get your husband, bring him back. I don't have a husband. No. You're right. You don't have a husband. You've had five. In the current situation you're in now, it's not with your husband. So he moves her from the physical to the spiritual. He moves her into this thing because what is being revealed is not her sins so as to shame her. What Jesus is revealing within her is that she possesses a thirst. And it is a spiritual thirst. And every attempt that she has had in her life through relationship to meet that thirst within her has met with unsatisfactory results. And every one of those relationships that she has entered into, she still cannot satiate this thirst that is within her. Moves her from the physical to the spiritual. You thirst for something deeper, and you cannot satiate that thirst through relationship, at least not human relationship. And in his speaking in this way, she receives from him. Did you catch what John said as he writes? John's a great storyteller. He says, about that time Jesus' disciples return, she gets up and she leaves her bucket and takes off running back to the town, excited, overjoyed. The Messiah has come. I have spoken with him. It is symbolic of her leaving her bucket at the well. It is symbolic. What does it mean? It means that through her encounter with Jesus, she is no longer thirsty. She's forgotten the physical thirst because he has met her in her spiritual thirst. One who is able to speak truth within her and give her the means to satisfy that thirst. She leaves her bucket. And now Jesus, the disciples come back with food, and he's not hungry anymore. And the disciples are worried whether or not this physical hunger that Jesus, like, we just went to town to get these stuff so that because you were hungry, and now you're no longer hungry. Did someone bring something to you? And he has to move them from the physical into the spiritual. My food that I have, you do not know of, to do my Father's will. And Jesus rejoices. He rejoices in this moment in a way that we don't yet fully understand. He's speaking to his disciples about a harvest. And they're like, harvest is 4 months from now. The seed has just been planted. And he goes, no, the seeds were planted before. John the Baptist has come. Do you see? Look out. And he's speaking of a harvest of souls, a harvest of people. Now is the time they are. It is ripe for harvest. The one who sows and the one who reaps are getting paid at the same time. Look at the fruitfulness around you. And they're still wondering if he's hungry or not. He's speaking of a spiritual harvest of what is before. And the Samaritans come and he spends time with them. St. Paul speaks to us about what the fulfillment of this longing is in Jesus Christ. He speaks about us entering into communion, the grace that comes into our life in response to that grace and entering in faith into this new relationship with God and the pouring out of the Holy Spirit within us. The Spirit, the breath of God, a spring of living water welling up within us. This is the first installment of those that have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I find it fascinating, my brothers and sisters, that Jesus uses something so simple, so concrete, as thirst. I say that because we think of our relationship with God as something incredibly complicated. Incredibly complicated. All of these things to enter into fully into our need for salvation. All of these things, complicated, complicated, complicated. And yet when he speaks to the woman today, he speaks to her in the simplest of desires, thirst. You ever been thirsty? Then you know of what Jesus speaks today. It is beautiful that he moves it from that which is complicated and complicated and complicated into the simple. Why? Because it reveals to us that a relationship with God, the redeemed relationship that we have with God in Jesus Christ, is something, my brothers and sisters, that is as essential to life as water is to our thirst. This is very important. We move from this like complicated thing that Jesus is and all, and we have to insert it into our life because our life is so complicated and it's distinct. No, my brothers and sisters, the need for Jesus is necessary as drinking water. And we are reminded of that today in the gospel. Do not complicate things. Well, I hear it, again, I gotta be careful when I'm talking about confession, right? Confessions. People come in and they've complicated everything. There are all these things in my life I'm trying to balance in the right way, and this and that, and then, oh, then my prayer life in there, and this and that, and all these other things, and family, and work, and health, and all this stuff. And I'm like, bull! Stop it! Knock it off! None of these things are as important as that one thing, your relationship with God. If you cannot make that a priority, if you cannot be intentional about that, you will never succeed in balancing all of this junk in your life, because none of it is as essential as the relationship with God in truth. If you have the relationship with God in truth and you have it in its right place, then everything in your life can be ordered properly in your life to life. But if you do not have life within you, no effort will ever, ever organize your life properly for life. You understand that? Your relationship with God is as fundamental as thirst. It is as fundamental as thirst. We need to be intentional about entering. You're here. Good job. You came to satiate your thirst at the wellspring of life, to be renewed in Jesus Christ. Congratulations, you will not die of thirst this week. Good for you. Good job. I don't mean that in a patronizing way. I mean it with all authenticity in my heart. You have chosen rightly, you have drawn close. This is unlike anything else that you could possibly experience this week. And it is necessary, it is as necessary to you as water. So, my brothers and sisters, if the most fundamental need in your life is God, can you imagine that in some way he will ignore the other needs of your life? If he has met you in that which is most necessary and most fundamental, then us complicating our life in all of these ways, yes, but I have this thing and this situation and this and that, and I can't, I'm not sure if God's going to meet me in that thing, and I'm just like, stop it! He meets you in your thirst. You can at least trust him that he's going to meet you in that complicated thing that you have concocted and made in your life. If you thirst, my brothers and sisters, God meets you in that thirst. Enter in and receive what he has to give to you, because it is most essential, and that which is most necessary for your life.